Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healing Peter and John, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses, and in his name through faith, and in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is in him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Amen. And may God bless this reading to us from his word, and to his name be praise and glory.
Over the month of February, we've been looking at gifts of different gifts that we have, and we've talked about gifts of self in the first week of February, about going deeper and relying on God's power. We looked at the gift of team, and about how God calls us to work with others. We looked at the gifts of resources last week, how God provides for us and how, in turn, we can give back to God. And today, we're going to be looking at the gift of healing. There are different gifts mentioned in the Bible: gifts of teaching, preaching, prophecy, words of knowledge, of helping, of administration, of faith, of miracles, long lists, and one of healing. It's in my Bible. It says there are gifts of healing. Does it have it in your Bible? That gifts of healing. Now, wait a minute, I might hear some of you saying, that's a gift that other people have, but I don't necessarily have. Different gifts are given to different people. And healing is just not one that I have. But I want to challenge this narrow view of healing this morning. What do we mean when we talk about healing? We heard in some of it in the song that we sang that we can't measure how we heal, that there are different ways in which people can be sick, if you like, or need healing. When we say healing, we might immediately think of physical healing. We might point to the story that we read this morning about the lame man sitting by the gate. And that healing, physical healing, is certainly one type of healing that does take place. And we might perhaps think about emotional healing, mental well-being, things to do with relationships, to do with unforgiveness, with stress, with perhaps unmet expectations, with turmoil that we feel inside us, things that make us unhappy or unsettled within. These are things that we might think of when we think about the need for healing. Or perhaps we might think about spiritual healing as something that we want in our own lives or in the lives of others that we see, others that are important to us. Being free from guilt, being free from sin. We might think of it as being a life of freedom that we can live in Jesus Christ. And so when we begin to think about healing and the gifts of healing, the picture gets a bit bigger. And that picture might even include you in some way. We all want to be in good health. And we probably all experience some sort of healing in our lives in one way or another. But how many of us actually see ourselves as healers? How many of you believe that you have the gift of healing? Perhaps if I asked how many of you had the gift of healing this morning, there would only be one or two hands go up. Let me ask it. How many of you would say you had the gift of healing this morning? One, two, three. Three or four, five hands. It's not something that we readily identify with. We're much more thinking about receiving healing rather than being healers. Peter and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples, were going to the temple one day. The Jews went three times a day, so there would have been a lot of people going that way. And on this particular day, a lame man was brought to the beautiful gate. This man was probably deformed, probably smelly and poorly dressed, but he sat every day by the beautiful gate. And as was the custom, some might have given him alms or charity money, but their eyes would not meet. That too was the custom. And he wouldn't have initiated the request for money. He would have sat there passively, as he had done for many years. We know from the next chapter in Acts that he was over 40 years old. And so he watches the throngs going to pray. And in amongst them, he sees two people who look different from the rest. They look more alive. They look more energized, even joyful. Not the usual temple goer, as we heard in our children's talk. And he was probably quite good at spotting the ones who are a soft touch. But when he saw Peter and John, he began to ask them for alms. He initiated the conversation. And the man just didn't see Peter and John. The word used in the New Testament means that he perceived something in Peter and John. He perceived there was something different about Peter and John, something different from all the other temple goers who went past and just put in their money each day. I wonder, do people see something different about us? Do we stand out in the crowd? Do people dare to approach us because they see something different? Because they see compassion in our eyes? Because they see the power of God working in our lives? Do we look like people who might help? And now, having seen Peter and John, they turn and fix their gaze upon him. They give him their undivided attention. They look, but what they see is something different as well. They see past the bedraggled, lame man that all the other temple goers would have seen. They see the beautiful individual that lies within as he sat by the beautiful gate. They're on their way to the temple. They have their eyes focused on God. And in turn, these simple disciples of the resurrected Jesus begin to see things through his eyes, through the eyes of Jesus. This event takes place in the context of a life of worship. Peter and John going up to the temple, their eyes fixed on God, three times, morning, noon, and in the afternoon. They went to pray. And so their outlook changes and they begin to see things differently as they worship. Have you experienced that? When you suddenly see things in a different light, when you begin to see past the unlikable or the unlovable in somebody, when you begin to see beyond the external and begin to see what God sees. That's what happens when we begin to get to go deeper with God. And like anyone who wants to get our attention, when they have something to say, Peter says, "Look at us. Look at us," Peter says. And the lame man was probably rather confused and wondering what was coming next. Was he going to get a telling off for having dared to initiate a conversation? Or was he going to get an extra load of cash today? But Peter says, "I don't have any silver or gold, but I will give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus, walk." And Peter stretches out his hand and the man takes it and his ankles are made strong and he leaps. And he stood upright. And as the crowd gathers in amazement, Peter is quick to explain that it's not their own piety, it's not their own power that has made this man walk. It is faith in the name of Jesus which has strengthened those weak ankles. Faith in Jesus which has brought about perfect health, as it says in the passage. A full health, a wholeness. Peter was willing to step out of his comfort zone. He'd seen Jesus heal while Jesus was here on earth, and now he knew it was his turn. And in boldness of faith, he stepped forward and he stretched out his hand in faith to heal in the name of Jesus. Do you remember when I was preaching a few weeks ago and we came across Peter? The very first time we came across Peter in the New Testament, and he was in his boat fishing he was on the shore, and Jesus asked him to get into his boat and to take it out a little from the shore so he could speak to the people. And then what happened? Jesus asked him to go a bit deeper. And this is the start of Peter's journey with Jesus. And then the passage ended with Peter abandoning everything and giving his whole self to Jesus and allowing Jesus to work through him. For the same power that he'd seen in this miracle catch of fish, the same power to be at work in his own life. And 3 years later on, this is where we are. Peter couldn't have healed on that first day when Jesus asked him to throw his nets into the water. But Peter and the other disciples had been with Jesus and he'd been trained by him over the previous 3 years. And they had seen Jesus healing. And they'd probably been amongst the 72 when they went out and practiced healing. And now they were putting into practice what they'd seen and what they'd heard and done when Jesus was with them. And I believe that God is still calling each of us, each one of us, to give our whole selves to him. And perhaps to move forward in exercising gifts of healing. I was walking past the notice board at the front of the church the other day, and I think Albert reminded us last week or the week before about the three pictures that are there, and you can probably tell me what they are, reminding us that the church is serving locally, nationally, and internationally. Now, I also noticed something else on the notice board. What's the verse below those three pictures? Have anybody noticed a verse? People walk past that notice board who don't come to this church, and a notice board advertises in a way what we're trying to say about ourselves. Now, if I wasn't at this church and I was walking past, like, what's this church about? And I see the notice board and I go and this looks good. They're serving locally, nationally, internationally. And what's this? What else are they doing? And there's a verse there. And I might not understand the F210 bit, but there are some words there which say, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And that's what we're sort of advertising, if you like, to the community around, that we're a group of people who believe that we've been created and shaped by God and created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So what are those good works that we do? Is healing not a part of those good works? In the New Testament, when it talks about the works of Jesus, healing were very much a part of that, those works. And healing in the widest sense of the word, of body and of mind and of spirit. And healing, as we know, is often a process. It's not, the healing isn't the end in itself. The healing is a process that leads to health. And healing can have different parts to it. Earlier in the week, I asked three people in the church about how they understood healing and how they were involved in healing. Let's listen to what they had to say.
Well, I work, as many of you will know, as a nurse and a midwife, having just retired from the NHS after 38 years at the end of December there. And over my time, I found that people's expectations of healing vary depending on what their illness is, but one of the greatest common things to them all is fear. And it's that fear of losing control. And they often put the control into the hands of people like myself or medics, and that's a huge privilege for anyone to be in that position. Some people abuse that position, of course, but with my Christian faith, I believe that I've been put there, and the Lord has given me the skills and the knowledge to try and help these people to achieve healing. Because it's not just in the physical sense, that may be there what you're there for to these people, but actually it's holistic healing. It's that blend of the body and the mind with the peace and the removal of the fear that contributes to that person realising all that they can be. And I see myself as a nurse, as a midwife, as being a medium that God uses, whether it's through touch, that's hand touch, physical touch, whether that's through emotional touch, using empathy. I do not tell everyone I know exactly how they're feeling. Nobody can do that. But you have a sense of the experience of what they're going through, and therefore you can try and help them and be with them and support them. And if you like, what I like to do is give the sense of God's love for every single person through my being there with them and supporting them. So therefore, as a nurse and a midwife, I can do that. But as a human being, God has made me able to provide healing to anyone I come across.
I first experienced the people being healed by the power of the Holy Spirit at the first clan gathering attended in St Andrews in July 2008, and felt it was something I would like to be involved in and bring back into my own community. A number of us met together then over the subsequent years and prayed through the situation, resulting in us opening the healing rooms in Bowness in November the 8th last year, down in the community education base in North Street. We meet on a Monday night. It was open to the public on a Monday night from 7 o'clock till 9, and people can come in and receive prayer for healing, for spiritual, emotional or physical problems. We believe that Jesus healed people 2,000 years ago and is still healing people today through the power of His Spirit, and He really just uses us as the vessels for that healing. And there we just pray with people and ask the Spirit to come and lay His healing hands upon them and bring healing to whatever situation that they find themselves in. There's 12 of us in the team from various churches in Bowness and from some of the surrounding areas as well. And of that 12, five are members of St Andrew's Church here, so that we have come together and we have a bond together now, and we believe that the healing process is taking place. We've seen people healed from depression, we've seen people healed physically, and we've seen people healed spiritually, and it's wonderful to see the Spirit moving in these people just in the 30 minutes they might be with us and then leave the healing rooms. So we feel that as a ministry it is very important in this town, and it will continue, and we just trust in the Lord that He will continue to heal and touch people through the work that we're doing.
In the Bible we read about the work of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of the gifts we read about is gifts of healing. In the ministry that I believe that God has called me into is in Christian counselling work. And in that work, I believe that listening, which is a big part of my work, is a healing gift. Many people who come into the counselling room have never, ever had anyone really listen to them. And in my experience, what I've learned is that when a person is listened to, they feel valued and they feel that they matter and that it does make a difference. But one of the other things which I've witnessed in the counselling room is we also read in the Bible about words of knowledge. And I see the healing power of God in this when I can be sitting with one of my clients and then I just receive something from the, and I know it's from the Holy Spirit, and I will perhaps, when the time's right, offer that to my client, and I see a huge breakthrough. And frequently the person will say, "How did you know that? How did you know that about me?" And I don't know it, and it's nothing to do with me. It's the Holy Spirit at work, and that's when I see the power of God working, and I see huge breakthrough. And then in time the emotional healing comes, spiritual healing comes, and it's just wonderful. I believe that listening is a form of healing, and I witness it regularly in the counselling room. And listening is for each and every one. We can all do this. Every one of us can learn to listen. And there's huge healing power in it. And something else which I have witnessed in the counselling room is never ever to underestimate the presence as well. Presence of the Holy Spirit and the healing power that's in that presence. One of the things that came over to me listening to those people is that we can all, in one way or another, be a healing presence in people's lives when we allow God's power to work through us. And have you ever thought of listening as being as a healing ministry? How many times have we said, "I feel better because somebody really listened to me"? We can all be listeners. Have you ever thought of the presence of your presence as healing? How many times has somebody said, "Thank you for visiting. Thank you for just being with me"? That can be healing. Or touch, just a gentle touch. Gentle hand on the arm or a hug at the right moment can be a healing action. Or prayer as healing. In James, it tells us, the book of James, a great advocate of doing rather than just talking, he writes, "Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him." There's all sorts of, all these different ways that we can think about healing gifts. These are all things that when done in Christ's name and in his power can bring about healing. And every one of us has some of these gifts to some extent or another. We can all be a healing presence in the lives of others. We can all practice friendship, bringing those who are shut out into the joyful kingdom of God, as Peter and John did with the healing of the lame man. We can all practice hospitality, not just providing food and space, but also hospitality in the sense of providing a comfortable zone for people, a comfortable place for people to listen, to be listened to. A place where people can be listened to is a place of hospitality. We can all practice being inclusive, seeing beyond the stereotypes and the outer bravado, and seeing others as God sees. We may still feel that we are the lame man in the story, and in some points in our life, that may well be. And as Albert said, we often come to a place where we feel we need healing. But there's also a place where we have been healed. And like the lame man, he was healed. And the first place he walked was straight into the temple, the place he'd been excluded from. And I've no doubt that Peter and John then discipled him as they had been discipled. And he, in turn, went on to be a healing presence among those that he walked and leapt amongst. He became part of the healing community known as the church. Now, if I were to ask again how many of you have gifts of healing, would I have changed any of your minds? Would any of you begin to see in some of the ways that you can be, that they might be exercising gifts of healing? I would hope so. I'd hope so that just in the small things, and like Peter who initially, so he wouldn't have been able to heal, he developed, and he, as he was discipled by Jesus, he then came to this point where he was able to extend his hand out and raise and lift the lame man off the ground through his faith. Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century Catholic theologian, called on Pope Innocent II when the latter was counting out a large sum of money. "You see, Thomas," said the Pope, "the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" "Truly, Holy Father," said Thomas, "neither can she now say, 'Rise up and walk.'" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, heal us from all that would harm us, in body, mind, or spirit. May your healing presence flow through our lives, making us whole. May we recognize the gifts you have given us. May we realize the healing presence we can be in the lives of those around. May we be like Peter and John, living in your strength, healing by your power, seeing with your eyes, loving with your compassion. Amen.